Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today as we continue on in some teaching, basic foundational teaching about the fall. A critical understanding of why the world is the way it is today. It's the result of our first parents, Adam and Eve's disobedience. Sin entered the world, and the ground was cursed, and because God was a just God. Yet thank the Lord that His great love, even before the foundation of the world, provided a way for us to be restored to fellowship with man, and He did that through the life, death, suffering, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous, glorious realization this is, to be able to walk in the experience of God's love and to know that He loves each one of us so much, so personally, that He sent Jesus. We hear these words so much. Sometimes we become, I think, almost inured, immune to the depth of what that meant for God the Father as well as Jesus. So it was a momentous event that occurred all those many, many years ago when Adam and Eve made that choice to listen to the devil rather than to obey God. Let's go back now to our text in the third chapter of Genesis, and I'm going to start reading at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. God created mankind to be relational, and so sin is going to affect, it's going to mar and stain and distance all of our relationships. Certainly there was a breaking of the relationship with God. There was a spiritual death that occurred, and here we begin to see a distance between the man and the woman. Previously, they're naked without shame. And here we see they gather fig leaves to cover themselves. So sin begins to affect all of our relationships. And in Genesis, that same chapter, verses 8 through 13, the word says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?' Then the man said, 'The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' And the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" those words. Beloved, first of all, let's take a look at what I've just shared with you. It says, after this was a normal pattern, God came down in the cool of the day to walk with them. And Adam and Eve, what was their response? They hid themselves. Well, first of all, you cannot run far enough from God. This is the creator of the universe. Where are they going to hide themselves? And I hate to be quite so blunt, but sin makes you stupid. You know, where were they going to go? But that's the effect of sin and guilt and shame. And also, notice what the word says. Then the Lord God called to Adam. He looked for the man. He called to the man first and said, "Where are you?" Why? Because the man was accountable. He was head of Eve. And so what Adam responds in saying, he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." What happened to the we? Well, obviously, they start to become enemies now. And then the Lord says, who told you that you were naked? His response is, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. So he's pointing blame at Eve, the woman. It wasn't my fault. And then he turns it around back on God. You gave her to me. He starts blaming God. And of course, then we see that their relationship in verse 8 with God is certainly affected. They become foolish. When you sin, you become foolish. They hide from God. And God calls for, he didn't call for Eve, he called for the man. That's what it means to be the head. And it means that a man has to take responsibility, even if he doesn't think it's his fault. Where are you today? That's a good question. Every man should wake up, look in the mirror and say, where am I? And of course, we see in verse 10 that Adam responds with an I and not with a we. They're no longer thinking as a couple. Look at that. Isn't that interesting? You might not have noticed that before, but they're not thinking as a couple. And we see this later in the chapter, as we see that Adam had no problem blaming Eve for the sin, and also God. And, you know, he could have stopped her. So God comes looking for the man, and he holds him responsible for the sinful condition of his family as its head. But rather than repenting of his sin, Adam essentially argues with God by blaming the woman for his sin, and then he blamed God for making Eve and giving her to him. And Eve also failed to repent for her sin, and she blamed the serpent for deceiving her. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Nevertheless, sin and the fall don't have the world, but God does. And he speaks a promise of hope in the coming of Jesus, who will respect authority and bring blessing, overcome sin, and thank God, liberate us from sin's presence and penalty by restoring us to righteousness. So, what is sin? Genesis 1:31 says, when God made everything, he said it was very good. In Hebrew, the Hebrew language, the Jews have a word they call shalom. You've probably heard that. And shalom means many things. It's a very rich word. It means perfection and wholeness. Everything is as it should be. There's beauty and glory and honor and love and reconciliation. No wars, no famine, no disease, no death, no tears, no suffering, no loss, no mourning, no funerals, no locks on doors, no police officers, no jails, no soldiers, no need. Isn't that a beautiful thought to contemplate? Sin is the marring of shalom. It's the vandalizing of shalom. It's the attacking of shalom. Sin, we're experiencing its terrible consequences. It shows up as death, suffering, injustice, boredom, annoyances, miseries, fears, illness, pain, sorrow, grief, despair, nuisance, tragedy, all those things. The list goes on and on. The Bible uses a multitude of images to talk about sin as rebellion, folly, self-abuse, madness, treason, death, hatred, spiritual adultery, missing the mark, wandering from the path, idolatry, insanity, irrationality, pride, selfishness, blindness, deafness, a hard heart, a stiff neck, delusion, unreasonableness, and self-worship. So the Bible uses multiple words and images to describe sin. It's a perversion, a pollution of what God has created in the beginning. And beloved, why am I taking the time to go through all of this? Because if you don't have a functional definition of sin, when you hear that Jesus died on the cross for sin, it won't mean anything to you, or it won't mean that much to you. Sin is omission and commission. Omission is not doing what you're supposed to do, and commission is doing what you're not supposed to do. Proverbs 20 and 9 says, the New International Version, who can say, I've kept my heart pure and I'm clean without sin? Sin includes our thoughts, our words, our deeds, what we do, our motives, why we do what we do. Sin is godlessness, which means ignoring God. It's the breaking of God's laws in the Bible. It's also breaking of human laws, as it says in Romans 13, 1 through 10. Sin is violating your own conscience, where the Spirit of God convicts you. It's perversion, which is using good things for bad. It also includes pollution, which is taking something that is good and then adding to it something that's so evil it's defiled and made impure. Sin is turning a good thing into a God thing. Sin is finding your identity in anyone or anything other than Jesus. So we might ask, as I bring this to a conclusion, is all sin equal? In one regard, it is. If you violate one part of God's law, you violate all of it. Therefore, all sin is grievous to God. On the other hand, sins have degrees of severity and punishment. Some sins have greater consequences than others. Remember when Jesus said to Pilate, they have the greater sin? Those that delivered him over. So today, we don't like to talk much about sin. No, we talk about we're having problems or we're having issues or, you know, challenges. We don't want to mention that it's actually sin we're dealing with. The true heart of a believer is that we don't want to sin. And let me just share 1 John 3, 4 and 9, and I'm going to read that quickly out of the Amplified. Everyone who practices sin is guilty of lawlessness, for that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking of or violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. You know that he appeared in visible form and became man to take away upon himself sin, and in him there is no sin, essentially and forever. No one who abides in him, who lives and remains in communion and in obedience to him, deliberately and knowingly, habitually, that's the key, commits or practices sin. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, recognized, perceived, or understood him, or has had an experiential acquaintance with him. In 7, it says, boys, do not let anyone deceive you or lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will and purpose, thought, and action, is righteous, even as he is righteous. Beloved, we may not want to sin, but if we do sin, thank God we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1 and 9, I leave you with this verse. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Well, I hope this has helped to deepen and enrich your understanding of sin. I'm going to bring this broadcast to a close. The announcer will give our contact information till tomorrow. This is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.